Lord, as we come to hear your word this morning, we pray that you will rest your spirit on John and that you'd bless him with your wisdom and guidance, and that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you've got to say to us this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. This month, my car had to go in for a service. Even now, an MOT and service. Even now, I'm slightly nervous as I wait to hear what problems the mechanic found and what needs repairing, and even more importantly, what will the bill be. I was even more worried more than 50 years ago as a young newspaper reporter when I needed the car for my job. And I was on a much smaller salary in those days. Would my car fail the MOT and be taken off the road? I hope not. You may have had similar anxieties spiritually when we read this verse from this morning's reading and the sobering verse from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Put yourselves to the test. Surely you recognize that Christ Jesus is among you. If not, you have failed the test. My theme this morning in a sentence is, are you and I living the life of faith? And how do we deal with our own spiritual MOT? The background to this passage is the Corinthians have been asking, is Paul even an apostle? Who does he think he is? Is the Messiah really living and speaking through him? Paul assures them very forcefully that plenty of proof will be forthcoming if they're so bold as to challenge him in person when he pays his third visit to the church in Corinth. In the previous two chapters of 2 Corinthians, chapters 11 and 12, Paul reminds them of all he has gone through. He's a Hebrew, an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham. He's a servant of Christ who's been imprisoned, scourged, severely beaten, facing death many, many times. Five times the Jews have given him the 39 strokes. Three times he's been beaten with rods. He's been stoned once as well. He's been shipwrecked three times, and for 24 hours he was adrift on the open seas. He's met dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from his fellow countrymen, dangers from foreigners, dangers in the town, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, and dangers from false Christians. He said, I've often gone without sleep. I've been hungry, thirsty, and often gone without food. I've often suffered from cold and exposure. Finally, Paul reminds them when he was in Damascus, the commissioner of King Aretas kept the city under observation to have him arrested. Paul had to escape from there by being let down in a basket from a window in the city walls. But now Paul turns the tables on the Corinthians and suggests that they too submit to a self-test, a sort of spiritual MOT. The Apostle Paul urges the Corinthian Christians to stop judging his ministry and instead look inward at themselves. He asks them to evaluate whether their lives reflect the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Before he arrives in Corinth, he tells the Corinthians they'd be well advised to run through a spiritual checklist on themselves, like the mechanical checklist on an MOT report, to see the signs that indicate whether the crucified and risen life of the Messiah is present in them. For Paul, this is the very center of what it means to be a Christian. The sort of questions Corinthians and we should ask themselves on our spiritual checklist of the MOT are, firstly, when you and I look in the mirror, do you and I see someone in whom Jesus is living and active? Or do you and I see someone who once knew him, but don't seem to now? Secondly, when you and I listen to the sort of things we say, does it sound like words that might have come from Jesus himself? Or are we simply talking the same way as everybody else does? Thirdly, when you and I are talking to other Christian brothers and sisters, do we respond to them as people in whom we see Jesus living in them? Or are they just ordinary people? When you and I quieten our mind to pray and wait on God, do we know and sense the presence and love of Jesus within us, sustaining us, guiding us, and directing us? Or are we concentrating on our own needs and requests? These are the searching kinds of tests that Paul has in mind on his MOT spiritual checklist. And amazingly, he longs for the Corinthians to find that they have passed this test and that they will discover Paul and the others also didn't fail the test. Paul is so keen that these Corinthians will pass the test that he says in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, he'd rather he failed the test and they passed it than that he passed the test and they would all fail. After all, it wouldn't say much about Paul's apostleship if he turned out to be a genuine Christian and all the people in the church he founded turned out to be fakes. But Paul has no interest in proving himself to be someone extra special. He is simply an apostle of the crucified and risen Messiah. He doesn't want to demonstrate his own status over theirs. He comes to them in a strange mixture of weakness and power. He's only interested in working for the truth in verse 8. If that means he will appear weak and they strong, then so be it. What he wants is for the church to grow into full maturity in Corinth. But the word he uses for maturity could also to be used for a car that's passed its MOT and is in proper running order, and all the parts are functioning properly together. But the good news is we've all passed our spiritual MOT, not through anything we've done. It is good to see the way, look at the way we're living at Christian as Christians, but that doesn't determine whether we're still Christians. How can I undo, and how can you undo, what you've never done in the first place? We're saved through God's grace and not by self-examination. The idea that we have to examine ourselves for sin is thoroughly human, but not spiritually essential. The Jews didn't even do this. Even under the old covenant, if you brought a lamb to the temple, it was the priest who examined the lamb, not you. That was a prophetic shadow of a new reality. When we come to communion or worship, we're to look to Jesus, not to ourselves. As Jesus said, do this in remembrance to me, in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul is not saying, examine yourselves sometimes to make sure you're still saved as a Christian. He is urging the Corinthians to stop judging his ministry and instead look inwardly at themselves. He asked them to evaluate whether their lives reflect the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we're not to doubt continually our salvation, but rather to ensure our faith is genuinely anchored in Jesus Christ. We're not like a car that's subject to an annual MOT that decides whether we pass or fail and can continue on our journey. Jesus has already ensured that we've passed our spiritual MOT by his death on the cross. The only one who fails the spiritual MOT is an unbeliever. But if that is you, there is still hope. The good news is that Jesus loves you, died for you, and now lives for you. If you're outside the Christian faith, you can come to him by saying sorry to him and seeing that he loves you like a father. It's exchanging a failed spiritual MOT for an MOT pass from our Lord and Master. Stop conforming to the old habit of self-examination and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One problem today the church faces is the number of believers who are burdened with fears that they have failed as a Christian and their consciences are full of past failures. Let me tell you about one person, a Ukrainian pastor, Viktor Krotiv, who might have felt he and his family had failed God in the past. In a letter he wrote to a friend of mine recently, the pastor said, "Despite bombings in Ukraine, despite the cruel war of these last years, now prolonging to a seeming eternity in Ukraine, we're currently in the season of holding a series of children's and youth camps in our country. In Bazika, we had a camp for 250 children, including many refugees, with many attending a Christian camp for the first time, plus more than 30 leaders. The parents were worried about the safety, but thank God, despite many air raid alerts, everything went very well. On the Sunday in the village house of culture, which we are currently renting in Ukraine, we held a large children's service. It was very symbolic to me," said the pastor, "as 50 years ago in 1973, my father, mother, and older sister were put on trial in that very room. They were accused of, quotes, involving youth and children in performing religious services and other activities, such as learning from the Bible verses by heart and reading the Bible aloud to minors. Since they were unable to prove the guilt of my mother and my older sister, because out of 60 witnesses, none said they'd been forced to perform religious duty. So my mother and older sister were released from that courtroom. But my father was found guilty and sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. Now, in this hall, even on the same chairs, children praise the Lord and accept Jesus Christ into their hearts," said the pastor. "Those people who persecuted and judged us are long gone, and the Church of Christ stands and spreads throughout the village of Bazika, which is 2,200 residents. 10% of the population are now going to the church. By the way, Pastor Viktor has planted 23 churches in Ukraine. Be assured, we and Christians all over the world, such as Ukraine, have a clear, clean spiritual MOT, thanks to Jesus. We will not be taken off the spiritual road. So happy spiritual motoring to everyone here, but let the Holy Spirit guide me and you and show you any warning signs on the way of your spiritual journey. Amen. God be with you."